Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 16th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, and we welcome back veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital for this latest edition. She's a little stiff, but she's a never a stiff guest. And if you have a question, the number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Anything at all about your dog or cat, now's the time to call. 800-348-2551. Dr. O'Loughlin is here to answer your pet's question. She's the vet. You have the pet. That's how the twain shall meet. We'll be right back on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's the Pets and Vet Show for the month of May today. And here to take your calls, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University and always a pleasure to have her on the program. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll also do the occasional email if you want to throw your question that way. It is voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, welcome back.
Well, hello there.
You know, I understand from social media that you're actually hosting the show today.
Yeah, that's what my hospital tells me.
They put you right in the host chair?
Yeah.
All right, I'll be the vet. You be the host.
Yeah. You had fun doing that once before.
Yeah, we'll never do that again.
Yeah.
So how's it going?
Not too bad.
Okay.
Not too bad. So spring has sprung.
Yep.
And so with that, we are starting to see allergies.
Oh, yes.
And
people, too.
And people, too. Yep. But animals suffer differently than people do. People tend to get the respiratory signs.
Yeah.
Animals, it almost always involves their skin. So itching, licking of feet, itchy butts, that's a common one.
Yeah.
Ears, lots of ear infections. So, you know, a lot of people just think their dog's itching in the summer is sort of a normal thing, but it's not.
Are these the same allergens that give us the respiratory problems?
Yep, same thing. Grasses,
amazing.
Trees, all that kind of stuff. You know, in the wintertime, we have animals that are allergic to things in the house, like dust and mites and things like that. But now that trees are blooming, my Labrador, as I know when the trees are blooming, she wakes me up scratching in the morning, and I know to get her right on her meds. So
what meds?
Well, it depends. But, you know, I always tell people a certain level of itch is acceptable. You know, all dogs are going to scratch, and cats.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is nothing and 10 is constant,
yeah.
If it's getting 5 and above, then they really should get it looked into. Because there are a lot of things we can do now that have very few side effects and can make the dogs totally comfortable.
Will you, in general, just try a regular allergy remedy rather than going through the extensive testing and finding out what
we don't actually end up testing many dogs for allergies unless the normal stuff is not working. But you know, there are simple things you can do, like bathing your dog, you know, washing the pollen off. I've had people find just wiping them off when they come in from outside with a damp cloth will help. You're just trying to decrease their exposure. And then, you know, there are medications and supplements and things like that that will also help.
Medications similar to those that humans would take?
You can do antihistamines in dogs. It's kind of hit and miss. Very individual. One antihistamine will work great in one dog and won't do a thing for another dog.
Huh.
So you have to kind of do trial and error. And there are fatty acid supplements that will help. And then, you know, the prescription medications, if all else fails.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest today on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. And we start with Martha in Wilton. Martha, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi. I have a six-month-old black lab mix who I'm wondering if he has some esophageal issues. He seems to throw up after somewhat of a long car ride, maybe a couple hours, and he licks everything all the time. And the throwing up has stopped, but it seems to then return after maybe licking a bone, and he'll chew sticks, eat sticks, and I'm not really sure how to treat this or find out if there's anything more severe.
So, Martha, so he only seems to vomit after car rides? Is that when I...
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Dramamine?
Well, I mean, yeah, some dogs are just get motion sickness, and that can be real common. And so you can do things like Dramamine. There are you know, prescription medications as well. And the other thing, of course, is if you know he's going for a car ride, don't feed him that day, so he doesn't have anything in his stomach. The licking of things, A, that can be a personality thing. Some dogs are just lickers. They just love to test their world with everything.
Yeah.
Does he do burping? Does he burp at all? Or
he doesn't burp. He hiccups a lot.
Okay. Well, hiccuping in a puppy is fairly common, and they usually outgrow that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes the licking can be a sign of a little bit of a you know, stomach upset. So, you know, the other possibility would be, you know, trying some over-the-counter antacids on them and seeing if that, not Tums, but like, you know, Pepcid or one of those.
Interesting. And what dosage?
I would speak to your veterinarian. I don't have, you know, all the dosages right off the top of my head. But, you know, they sometimes will help if it's a little bit of a, you know, acid refluxy kind of thing. Nothing that sounds terribly concerning. You know, if it's an esophagus issue, what they tend to do is regurgitate. So they're not vomiting. You know, with vomiting, they're retching, and then the food comes up. With regurgitation, they eat, and then they kind of turn around and go, bloop, and up the food comes with very little effort.
Okay.
All right.
No, he has a lot of effort, and then it's like after he's emptied his stomach of all the food, then we get bile, and he continues to do the gagging until, I don't know, after several hours it seems to ease, but I can feel that his stomach is in distress.
Yeah, I would talk to your vet about some anti-nausea treatment for him when he's in the car.
All right, Martha, thank you so much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number, and let's go over to Paul in Greenfield. Paul. Hey, Paul, you got to turn your radio down a little bit there, buddy.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Okay, you're on.
Okay, I have a 12-year-old corgi, and he's been very healthy, and today we feed him very good quality food. And I had a second dog. Her name was Daisy, and Daisy had passed away. I went to get her her teeth cleaned, and when we got her back from the vet, the doctor told us that she had hours to live. Wow. And it wasn't her teeth. Apparently, she was bleeding from the mouth, and we were not aware of it. And I was shocked. I was really shocked that she was a member of my family, and she had passed away. But I did notice that she had...
Hang on. We'll see if we can get Paul back again. Paul, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead. We had a little issue with the phones. You go ahead.
Okay. I have a 12-year-old corgi.
Oh, no, we got that.
We were cut off right after you lost Daisy.
Okay. Back to Corey. Corey, my corgi, he is 12 years old, and he has these fatty lumps under his belly.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what they are.
Okay, I was going to say, have they been checked by a vet?
Well, I brought them to a vet, and they told me it was just a fatty, lumpy, that's where the corgis collect their fat cells underneath their belly. But I'm kind of skeptical about that diagnostic.
Well, it's
because of...
Right, it's very, very common for dogs as they get into middle age and older to develop fatty lumps. They're called lipomas.
Right.
You can usually tell that pretty easily by a quick needle aspirate. You stick a little needle in there and draw a few cells out. Very quick and relatively painless for the dog. No different than giving them a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it quick under the microscope and you can tell pretty quickly. Very common and very benign.
Okay.
Fatty lipomas are generally just a cosmetic issue. Every now and then they will grow to larger than your fist, and then they keep growing, and I've had them literally grow to the size of a basketball.
Wow.
So those you want to get off. But the sort of garden variety that get to be about the size of a, you know, a walnut or a peach pit or slightly bigger, who cares? They're just a cosmetic thing.
Yeah, his is about the half the size of a hockey puck.
Yeah, that's pretty common. And if it's not getting a lot bigger than that, I really wouldn't worry about it. And they may get more. They often start to collect them.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll be back with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin on a Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop.
Support for WMC comes from the Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, now featuring the Wild Walk, a nature trail across the treetops. Wildcenter.org for details. Wash and Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying. Facebook and 866-WASH-WAG. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Hooked Seafood Company, Latham. Fresh seafood retail market and kitchen with scratch-made lunch and dinner menu, raw bar, lobster rolls, whole belly clams, fish and chips available. HookedSeafoodINC.com. And Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Beltertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Pets and Vets today. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. I'm not the vet. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is the vet, and she's here to answer your calls. And we'll take a few emails here, Doc, before we move on. This one is from Fred in Dalton. Can you tell us why dogs eat grass?
No. No, the short answer is no. I think there are a couple of reasons. I personally had a dog who loved grass. I mean, you could see he would go out and pick certain particular blades. It had to be just right in this. He loved the fresh grass that came up in the spring, and he would mow the lawn.
Oh, beautiful.
And then there are some dogs who will go out and eat grass when they're not feeling great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're trying to soothe their stomach or if they're trying to make themselves throw up.
Yeah.
I don't speak dogs, so until somebody can figure that out, it's hard to say. But I think it's a combination of some dogs like the taste. They are omnivores, so they like their salad. And then some dogs are doing it because they don't feel quite right.
Same for cats? I've known many a cat to chow on some grass.
Yeah, they even sell cat grass in the pet stores where you can bring grass into your indoor cat.
I'd always heard it was because the cat wanted to hurl.
I don't think anyone knows.
Really?
I think because sometimes they throw up and sometimes they don't. So, I think sometimes they like grass, but it makes them throw up, and sometimes they're trying to make themselves throw up. I don't know.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. This one, subject heading is cat blackmail. Hello, Ray and Dr. Vet. Sorry, I didn't catch your name. It's Carrie O'Loughlin. What to do about a cat that has me in his clutches? What I mean is, he will stare at his bowl, and if I do not fill it, he will cry endlessly. If I still don't do his bidding, he'll either spray or scratch the furniture, which I can, by the way, head off with aluminum foil, but I grow tired of that. Help, please. He's holding me hostage. And that's from Johanna.
Well, so when cats are doing that, the spraying and the scratch, he's stressed. And maybe he's stressed because he wants food. Couple of things you could try. It sounds like, I guess it didn't say whether it was dry food or wet food, did it? So it said fill his bowl.
Nope, just stares at a bowl.
Okay. So, one is you can try and distract him with play. Get some toys out. They do make toys where you can put food in the toy, and as the cat plays with it, a little piece of food will get dispensed.
Yeah.
You could try that if he's on a dry food. If it's canned, you could try just giving smaller amounts more frequently. But I tend to not try and let the cat tell me what to do.
Exactly. Don't give in.
You know, so I would try and distract him with toys or play or something like that.
It doesn't work. The cat ends up ruling you anyway. But still, don't give in, at least for now, and then give in later. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets Today. And back to the phones, Sylvia in North Carolina. Hello, Sylvia.
Thank you so much for your live stream. I really appreciate it. And yes, I am a member.
So great to have you here. You're on.
I'm interested in PANIS. I have a German Shepherd who was just recently diagnosed with PANIS, and I understand I have to give him drops for the rest of his life. I want to know what causes it. Is it genetic, and is it primarily the domain of German Shepherds?
Well, all good questions, Sylvia. For those who don't know, PANIS is a disease of the eyes, the cornea. It is primarily in German Shepherds, although other breeds can get it. So, you know, it most likely has a very strong genetic predisposition. And it is a chronic but controllable disease. So what happens is they start to get pigment coming across the cornea. So the cornea is the clear surface of the eye in the front of your eye. And so if you get pigment, it's like putting paint on a windshield. Then they can't see through it, and they can go blind.
Yeah.
Good news is, even if they have the pigment already, if you treat them, and the most common treatment is corticosteroid drops or cortisone drops, that pigment can go away, and their eyes can clear up. And they can be kept clear with treatment. And so it's a matter of finding out how infrequently you can get away with the drops and keep the eyes clear, because this is something you're going to be doing for the rest of their life. But you do have to stick with it, because it will come back if you stop. It's their body attacking their eyes. It's considered an autoimmune disease. So.
Well, thank you. That certainly answers my question. I really appreciate it. And Ray,
yes.
Tell Teresa Bourgeois she has a major fan in the mountains of North Carolina.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell her tomorrow. Thank you.
All right. Thanks
Bye.
So much.
See ya. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. So with PANIS, it is nothing you can get rid of with a laser surgery kind of thing?
Not that I know of, but I'm not an ophthalmologist. So they may have come out with something new, but no, for the most part, because it's an ongoing process, once it starts, you know, you can get rid of it, but then it's going to come right back.
You can't
if you don't do anything.
Nip it at the source and find out.
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
So interesting. Our number is 800-348-2551. Is that analogous to anything that happens in humans?
I have no idea.
Let's find out.
I'm not a human doctor.
All right. Well, you are human. Let's go to Mary in Brunswick. Mary, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Sure thing.
Okay, sorry, I'm on the thruway. I inherited my mother's 9-year-old Chihuahua, and she's just got this incessant barking issue. She watches out the window, and any time anybody walks by the house or she sees another dog, she just goes crazy. And we've tried to control it by getting her to calm down, but I just wonder if there's like some kind of anti-bark device, a collar, or something humane that we could use to try to train her to stop barking like a crazy woman.
Yeah, yes, the incessant barking dogs can be annoying to both the people who live with them and the people who live around them.
Mm-hmm.
There are several types of collars out there. There are the shocking type of collars, which I believe now can be set to different levels. So you can start on a very, very light, you know, shock and see if that's enough. Some dogs are very sensitive to that. One little correction and it makes them shut right up. The other possibility is they make citronella collars. So it sprays, every time the dog barks, it gives a little spritz of citronella right in front of their nose. And they don't like that smell.
They don't like that.
No. Although I have to admit, I was in a store the other day has a dachshund that barks a lot, and he came up to me wearing that citronella collar, and the citronella was spraying all over the place. That dog was barking his head off. So not all collars work, but it is something that could be tried. The other possibility, you know, trying to block her access to the windows, easier said than done. And then just working on training of teaching her to come and sit and be quiet. But that definitely is, you know, time consuming. And
what's the best course of action? All of that sounds like it would take a long time.
They're all, yes, there's no simple fix for the barking dog. They want to protect their territory, and they're going to do it. Hmm. Some dogs are more barky than others.
Mary, you want to follow up?
She's very barky, and she's made our black lab bark even more than he did before. So, but we'll try anything. I'll give the collar a try, see what happens.
All right, okay. Thanks, Mary. Good luck. Appreciate the call. Let me ask you about these shock collars. Can they be humane?
Yeah, I mean, they're not like sticking your finger in a light socket. Oh. I mean, they can be done to. I watched a video of a fellow who was using it for a training, and his way of doing it is you turn it the shock sensation all the way down to nothing. And then you slowly start turning it up, giving the dog a little shock until you just see their eyebrows move. Not that they're like jumping.
Right.
You just see their eyebrows move a little bit, and that's where you start. And it's just, he said, it's no different than correcting them with a little tug on the leash.
Very interesting. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest, and let's go to North Adams, Mass. And Dave, you're on.
Yes, hello. Dr. Laughlin and Ray, thank you for taking the call, and what an excellent program. I love the pet show.
Thank you.
I have a question. It's just a general follow-up on a special or a main news story last night from the Albany News on TV, but they had a section on a new drug, or it gives dogs 20% more of their lifespan. And I was unbelievable. I sat up and I thought, am I watching the regular news? But it was the Albany station, and they mentioned something about a new drug or a hormone or something that will actually add 20% of the years of whatever particular dog you have to their lives. And it was short, but it was a main story. And I was just wondering if you've heard of it.
Unfortunately, I have not, and I did not catch the news last night. So,
dog lover, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This can't be serious. Yeah.
I have not heard of any new amazing drug coming out that is supposed to extend life. So,
But if I didn't see it on the Albany station, I would be, I mean, if it was on Facebook, I would say, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I just thought, wow, that would be amazing.
Yep. Wow. It has not crossed my radar yet that I know of. So.
Well, thanks, Dave.
But
we appreciate it.
I'll have to look out for it.
Radiolab on these airwaves on Monday had I think it was Radiolab. They had a piece about DNA work being done that extended the life of earthworms by 10 times. Just by manipulating some, and I, you know, only half listening because I was in the office, but imagine that. Imagine living 10 times longer, Carrie O'Loughlin.
No thanks.
Exactly. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll go over to line 7, and Judy in Kerhonkson. Judy, you're on.
Hey, hi to both of you, and I have just adopted a cat who's about 7 years old, and he has quite, it seems to me, a severe case of asthma with labored breathing and heaving occasionally. And he needs to be seen by a vet. I haven't done that yet. But somebody just today told me about acupuncture as a possible cure. Can you tell me anything about that?
Well, I do not do acupuncture myself. I know of several vets in the area that do. It wouldn't surprise me if they don't have some acupuncture points that would help with breathing. My concern would be, you know, is this truly asthma?
Or cardiac.
Or heart, yes. So I definitely, you know, would start with your regular veterinarian, probably need to get an X-ray to see if the lungs are affected. And there are also blood tests that can be done now to check for heart disease.
Is this a congestive heart failure sort of thing?
Could be congestive heart failure, could be asthma, could be heartworm. Cats can get heartworm and it can show up looking like asthma. So there are a variety of things that can be checked. And then after that, there are a number of different things you could look into, with acupuncture being one of them. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Judy. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, and our number is 800-348-2551. Over to High Falls, and Jerry, you're next.
Yes, hi. How you doing? I got to say that I love your show. I listen to your radio show at least 6 hours a day driving.
Oh, that's great.
I appreciate that you guys exist.
Thank you.
So, doctor, the 10-and-a-half-year-old Akita, she's a female, and 5 days ago she's got this semi-light green ooze that has come out of her eye. And, of course, Visine 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, flushing it out, has helped incredibly. The eye is almost white, still a little bit redness around it. But I just want to know, am I doing anything wrong by giving her 500 milligrams of amoxicillin?
Well, it may or may not help. Amoxicillin is not the greatest antibiotic for respiratory type things. I would not actually use Visine. You're better off just getting some saline wash.
Okay.
The stuff in the Visine that's supposed to get the red out, from my understanding from the ophthalmologist, is not great for dog and cat eyes.
Huh.
So, you know, a lot of times it's just the liquid. It's just their eyes are irritated. And if you can flush them out with some, you know, saline wash that you can get in any drugstore
liquid
for eyes.
Or what do they call
that? Yep. That would be better than the Visine for sure. You know,
and the application would be just eye droplets.
Yeah, you can you could just get the, you know, saline eye wash and just flush some in the eye to sort of wash the discharge out.
Okay.
But if, you know, if she's continuing to have green discharge and the eye is at all red, it would probably be a good idea to get her checked. One, you want to make sure there's not a scratch on that cornea. And, you know, if there's infection, she may need antibiotic drops rather than treating the whole dog, you know, with an oral antibiotic. A lot of times with the eyes, just a drop will do it.
Okay.
Okay, well, I can't thank you enough for the input. We'll see. And how much longer should I prolong this saline and see how it goes until I make the determination?
I don't like to mess around with eyes. You know, they only have two, and if they start losing them, boy, you know. So a day or two, if it's not clearing up, I would get in.
Okay, I can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551, and we go over to John. John, where are you calling from?
Sturbridge, Mass.
Oh, terrific. You're on the air.
Great. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have just a couple quick questions. I have a female black lab pit bull mix. She's 4 years old. The vet recently said she's about 20 pounds overweight. She weighs 85 pounds currently.
It's a big one.
But she doesn't look fat. I mean, she's very energetic. She's very active. And I'm just curious of if that's as big of an issue as the vet seems to think. The other question is about heartwormer. Here in Mass, we have, you know, the seasons, and some friends of mine who also have dogs say that you don't need to give heartwormer pills year round. You can lay off for the winter months because mosquitoes are, you know, there's no threat of mosquito bites. I'm just wondering if that's true and safe, and if it's better to keep her on it year round, or, you know, can we go the 4 or 5 months here without it?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, with her weight, my thing is, I don't care what the scale says. Can you feel ribs? Can you feel her ribs?
Yeah,
and does she have a waistline? So is there a tuck behind those ribs where her, you know, she gets a little bit of an hourglass figure? If either one of those is true, then I'm not as unhappy about their weight.
Yeah, you can actually see her ribs. And she, like I said, she's, I don't know if this makes a difference, but she's lab and pit bull. So she looks like a black lab, but she has the muscles of a pit bull.
Right, right.
And she does not appear to be fat, and she runs like a deer. But the vet says she needs to lose 20 pounds and wanted to put her on a diet. So I just was curious if...
Yeah, so without seeing her, I usually go by feel. You know, okay. If you can feel ribs and she's got a tuck in her waist, then I consider that okay. Now, as far as heartworm disease goes, mosquitoes, yes, they're much more plentiful in the warm weather months. But they've also found that mosquitoes can live for 100 days in your house.
Really?
So that's three plus months. And if your dog were, God forbid, to get heartworm, it's horrendous. It's horrible to treat. It's a long period of time where your dog cannot run or play at all. So for a couple of dollars a month, it's a much easier disease to prevent than it is to treat. So I do all year round.
And, so it's definitely worth it to do all year round on the heartworm.
Yep. Okay, and you're giving them an intestinal dewormer at the same time. So you're killing that too.
Perfect. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets Today on Vox Pop. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. We'll be back with the home stretch in a moment.
Support for WMC comes from Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Capturing the Essence, the artwork of Beth Van Hosen and Mark Adams, through June 10th. Information at arkellmuseum.org. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, forthillautobody.com. And the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, presenting the works of Rockwell Kent, who traveled the world but lived and worked in the Adirondacks, through July 22nd, HydeCollection.org for details.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets Today. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here from the Del Mar Animal Hospital. And let's see who has been waiting the longest. It's an egalitarian program. And Anne in Munson, Mass. Anne, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon to both of you. I'm calling regarding my 9-year-old Manchester Terrier. He was found about 8 months ago to have low kidney function just during a routine annual physical. And so since then, I've been trying to get more water into him. He was retested and found to have normal kidney function after I started making vegetable stock for him and putting it in with his food. He then started not to like that, but I started putting water in his food quite a bit. Now he's getting finicky about even the water in his food. So I'm wondering if you have any suggestions. I have also tried using different types of water bowls in terms of metal versus ceramic, that type of thing. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions.
Yeah, so is he picky about his food in general, or is it just seem like with the water in it?
I would say he's not picky, but we do give him a grain-free diet, and he's limited because we haven't been able to determine what he's allergic to, but when he's not on this grain-free diet without poultry and beef in his diet, he has diarrhea and he has frequent vomiting.
Gotcha.
So that's been taken care of by doing the no-grain diet with lamb or duck or venison.
Okay.
We give him both dry and wet food next.
Ah, that was going to be my next question. Is it dry or canned? Because canned food has a lot of water in it all by itself.
Yeah.
So okay. If you go more with the canned, you're going to be getting more water into him. The other thing is some dogs like running water. So, you know, like cats like the kitty fountains, doing something like a little water fountain for him, see if he likes the running water. Or ice cubes. Some dogs really like ice cubes.
He does like ice cubes.
So you could always make some broth up into ice cubes and make little flavored ice cubes, and then he might get more in that way as well.
Interesting.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, you're
thanks
welcome.
Thanks a lot for the call. And another satisfied customer here on Vox Pop, Meredith in Saratoga Springs. Meredith, you're on. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you're on.
So I have a nine-month-old Beagle Hound mix, and he's a male. And we got him at 17 weeks, and he was on the Purina Puppy Chow, and we changed it to the Blue Buffalo Puppy Chow. And he was starting to get really bad diarrhea, so I took him to the vet, and this was back in January. And they said to put him on just a brown rice and chicken. So I gave him just brown rice and chicken breast, and he wasn't digesting that well. He was pooping out just full grains of rice, and so we switched him. I have some friends that told me about Fromm's, so I switched him to a grain-free diet with no poultry to Fromm's, and he's still on the puppy chow or the puppy food for that, but now he's starting to have really bad diarrhea, and he doesn't want to eat in the morning. So usually he's very excited in the morning to eat, but we tell him to go get the food out of the bowl. He doesn't want to, and then he does the same thing at night, and he just kind of sniffs at it, picks at it, and then he'll eventually eat it over time, but he's still having really bad diarrhea. So I'm not sure if it's an allergy to the food or what.
Yeah, it certainly, dogs unfortunately can develop allergies to their food at any point, even as puppies. And you said, how old is he now?
He's 9 months.
Okay. So for one, he doesn't need to be on puppy food anymore. And puppy
yeah,
food,
I do know that.
Puppy food tends to be richer than adult food. So, you might want to just try him on the adult variety of what you've been feeding him. If you like the grain-free, that's fine. But if he continues, one is you want to make sure I'm assuming he's been checked for parasites and dewormed, because puppies, the two big things in puppies with diarrhea is parasites and food. Hmm. So if you've ruled out the parasites by having him checked and potentially dewormed, if you haven't done that, I would do that. And other than that, it's going to more limited, diet. Grain-free is fine if they're sensitive to the grain, but if they're sensitive to the meat or whatever protein is in there, they're going to continue to have problems. So, you might need to try a more limited diet they make venison and green pea or, one of those. But you have to be very careful reading labels, because they may say venison on the front of the bag and the second ingredient is chicken. Ah. So be very careful about what you buy.
Yeah, and that's why I buy the Fromm's. You can't buy that at a typical box pet store.
Right.
You have to buy it at a local pet store.
Right.
And so that doesn't have any poultry or anything like that in it.
Right.
But I know that he does need to be moved over to adult food. I had a little bit of puppy food left, and I wanted to hold off and make, because the food that he's on is really expensive.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Meredith, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Over to Kalina in Amherst, Mass. You're on.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
My boyfriend and I, we have a puppy. She's 7 months old now, and she's a mixed breed. We got her from a local shelter. We do know that she's a Dixie dog from South Carolina. We are interested in getting the DNA testing to find out exactly what she is. On her paperwork, she's a retriever mix. But we have all kinds of theories of what she kind of looks like. What I'm wondering is, I asked my vet what they thought, and they said that the technology really is still developing and it's not really worth it. The best way is just to look at the dog and see what she looks like. Do you have any suggestions of DNA tests that are worthwhile?
I agree with your vet. Yeah, I wouldn't waste your money. I have seen the craziest combinations come out of those genetic testing.
Really?
I've been tempted to send my own purebred Labrador in to see what they tell me she is, because I'm almost afraid of what they would say. Because I've seen some of these where they say, this dog is half chow chow, and you look at it and go, what? I don't think so. So I don't believe them. I think they need to work on their technology a lot before, you go spending $100 or $150 on these things. So, I think it's fun. I've been I have a dog who's 11 years old. We're still trying to figure out what he is. You know, he's a southern he's a southern hound. I know that. And beyond that, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you so much.
Bye now. Over to Michelle in Plattsburgh. Michelle.
Hi. I have a cat who is 2 years old, and she just started defecating or pooping outside the litter box. She'll pee in the litter box, but she won't poop in it. She poops about the same time every day, so I catch her, and I'm able to get her in the bathroom. However, it's becoming a problem, and it seems like it's turning into habit for her.
Hmm.
So
anything I can do?
Yeah. Question. Is the stool that she's producing, does it look normal? Is it formed?
Yes.
Okay.
It's normal stool. Yep.
Okay.
It's not diarrhea or anything like that.
Okay. The general.
It's not excessive.
Right. The general thought is it's unusual for a cat to defecate outside the litter box as a behavior issue. It usually means there's something physical going on. So it might be worthwhile getting her checked, you know, make sure she hasn't lost any weight. We see she's at the age where she could be, you know, developing some inflammatory bowel or something like that. And so generally I get concerned when I hear defecating outside the litter box, but urinating in it, that there's, you know, it's not a litter box issue. It's a physical issue. So I would get her checked and just make sure that they don't find anything of issue.
Okay. And that means when you say get her checked, that means her stool should be examined.
Yep. And she should be examined, you know, physical exam. What do her intestines feel like? Has she lost any weight? Are there any other issues with her physically?
Yeah. She has just turned two.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't, you know, catch it early.
Michelle, thanks for the call. And over to line 5 and Susie in Rosendale. Susie, you're on.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Sure thing.
Oh, great. Carrie, hi, this is Susie.
I was wondering when I saw Susie from Rosendale. How are you doing?
Carrie, last night my cat came home, or I just found him this morning, like had his face chewed off by something. He's missing some teeth.
Ooh.
He's got cuts all over him. And, you know, I've never brought him to the vet because I'm an adjunct community college teacher and very poor.
Yeah.
And I made an appointment for a vet today at 4:40, and I'm just wondering, can he heal himself, or do I have to go? I'm very upset.
I know, Susie, I'm sorry. If it's that severe of a wound, I would get him checked. And the good news is, you know, they have, you know, injectable antibiotics they can give, that you just give a shot, and it'll work for a couple of weeks to cover infection.
Do you think they'll have to keep him overnight or anything?
I would hope not. I mean, cats are pretty tough that way. But without, you know, physically seeing him, that sounds like a pretty nasty wound. And
it's very nasty. He's got cuts all over him, but it's really like his mouth is totally. He looks like a monster. He's totally deformed.
I would get him looked at. Unfortunately, I wish I had a better response for you.
No. I think that is. I just want confirmation because it's so hard for me to do it.
But, I know.
I feel like I have to. You know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Susie.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Over to Diana in Cheshire. Diana, you're on.
Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm calling. I have a 10-year-old female cat. The past few months, I've noticed she's lost a ton of weight. We took her to the vet yesterday, and she said that she had severely overactive thyroid. And she's recommending that we take her to a clinic that only does this, radioactive iodine. Iodine.
Yeah.
They only do it once a month because it's a clinic down in Westfield. So I don't have a very large window of time. She didn't recommend pills, but I thought pills were, you know, I don't want my cat to wait another almost month to me for therapy when I feel she's emaciated. So is it a possibility to begin her on pills and then later on do the therapy with that clinic that only does it once a month?
Yeah. I My personal choice, you know, your choices with treating an overactive thyroid in a cat are medication to block the thyroid production, surgery to remove the abnormal thyroid gland, or the radioactive iodine. The radioactive iodine is considered to be the quote-unquote gold standard because you're basically healing the cat. Mm. However, some cats with overactive thyroid also have underlying kidney disease. And when they're first diagnosed with thyroid, their kidneys look normal because the overactive thyroid is pushing a lot of extra blood, causing blood to be thrown to the kidneys, which the kidneys are happy with. And then when you treat the thyroid, suddenly the kidneys are not happy. So I often like to see how the cats do on medication first. And if they're doing really well and their kidneys are stable, then go ahead and send them to the radioactive iodine. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. I do believe before you go for radioactive iodine, they want them off the oral meds for a little bit. But you could certainly, you know, put it off for a couple of months if you want to do the oral treatment first.
Now that I've spoken with you, I'm thinking medication because she did have an issue with her kidneys. We adopted her. She had been a barn cat and in a shelter. And we did adopt her, and she's had issues with her teeth, and then she seemed to have a few seizures.
Right.
And when we brought her for the seizures a few years ago, they did indicate that she was having issues with her kidneys.
Yeah. So this way you can kind of play around with the oral medication to keep her kidneys happy.
All right, Diana, thanks a lot for the call. We go over to Ryan and Troy. Ryan, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Appreciate it. Yep. Can you hear me?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Great. You know, thanks again. I have a six-year-old Concorso Mastiff, Italian Mastiff, and she is just filled with psychological and behavioral issues. I have done an awful lot to try to, you know, help. So she has fearful aggression and a traumatic amount of anxiety. To the point where she's constantly shaking, and it's just really hard to watch. And I've been trying a lot of things over the years. But I was just, you know, wanted to know what your thoughts are in dealing with the anxiety, particularly because I'm working on the behavioral issues and the fearful aggression, but just really struggling to deal with the anxiety portion, and it's hard to watch, so.
Yeah, so have you had her to a vet about this?
I have, and, you know, she's been on the natural supplements for anxiety. I have her occasionally in one of those kind of huggable vests.
Right, the thunder shirts.
Yeah, and she's afraid of that. I mean, this dog's afraid of bubbles. This big dog is afraid of everything.
Hang on, we'll try it one more time here. Let's go back to line five. Are you still there, Ryan? Let's try Ryan over here. Ryan, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep. Lost you for just a second there. So,
I apologize.
So, Ryan, what I would say is, you know, at some point you may need to go to more pharmaceutical anti-anxiety medications if she's that fearful. You know, and the anxiety is going to make the fear worse.
Yeah.
And or potentially work with a veterinary behaviorist, because unfortunately with a Cane Corso, for those people who don't know, they're a large dog. And if she gets fearful enough and aggressive enough, she could really hurt someone. So before that happens,
okay.
I would get her on some pharmaceuticals.
All right. Very quickly, only about 30 seconds. John in Albany, you've been waiting a while. You have 30 seconds with Dr. O'Loughlin.
Hi, doctor. Just quick, I have a two-year-old whippet, and we were taking him to a vet, to grooming stations where a lot of dogs frequent, and he would smell the ground, and he started having episodes of foaming from the mouth. 2 months ago, we took him to the vet again for just a regular checkup, and he started smelling the floor, and he had an all-out seizure.
Okay.
We told the doctors before when he had these episodes of foaming from the mouth, and they said it was a behavioral.
Okay, we're almost out of time here, John. You got any quick ideas, Doc?
Well, if it's foaming and then a seizure, I would get the dog checked for the seizures, because whippets can have have seizure issues.
Okay, well, that's where we will have to leave it. Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin, wonderful job. Support comes from George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in buying and selling antique collections for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998, windyhollowvet.com. Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art, visionxlicare.com. And Capital Roots, making fresh local produce accessible to Capital Region neighborhoods. Healthy, affordable food should be a right, not a privilege. To learn more, capitalroots.org. Thanks again to Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin for joining us today. Thank you for the great calls and the emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Calls were answered by Carol Lapani. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Gordon Fricke, the car whisperer, returns. Right now, stand by for news.